6 steps to Christian growth. And it gets a little deeper, a little thicker meat, if you will, in a few weeks. But hey, we all need to grow, don't we? We all need to grow. So G, growth. Help me to spell growth. The first letter is G, right? So the first point I'd like to bring out is we need to go to a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, independent Baptist church. We need to go to church. Let's stand together. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, it's in the book. I don't apologize for it. In verse 24 and 25, if you have your Bible. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. The first step, if you're going to grow, you need to be at the house of God. It says, the Lord says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the what? Assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we know, Lord, that you honor church. It wasn't our ideal, Lord. You began the church and started the church, and you love the church, oh God. And Lord, if we love you, we should love what you love. And Lord, so today, help us to grow a little bit closer and a little bit more in touch with you, Lord, that we might, Lord, be ready to meet you one day when that day comes, Lord, when we all get to heaven. And so, Lord, I pray for the class. I pray for all the Sunday school classes even now, that you would anoint their lips freshly, Lord, and give them a good time in Sunday school Bible study. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go to it. You may be seated. So go to a good church. You need one that teaches this book right here. Amen. That opens the Bible. If they don't open the Bible, that's not a good church, okay? If they don't encourage you to get in here and learn the Word of God, then, you know, and how can you hear without a preacher? You need to go to church. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves. Don't forsake it. Now, you know, there were thousands, multitude of thousands that died for their faith that were Baptist. I'm not apologized to say that. I'm Baptist by conviction. Not that Baptists are always right. This book is always right. Amen. Jesus didn't get baptized from John the Presbyterian or John the Methodist or John the Lutheran or whatever. No, he walked to get a Baptist baptism. Now, baptism won't save you, won't get you to heaven. But what was Jesus doing when he did that, when he was baptized by John the Baptist? He was identifying. See, identifying. And that's what baptism is about. Identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ and identifying with the doctrine of the book. And so, you need a church you can go to that preaches the Word, that teaches the Word, where you can get under it. And so that's what, go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Back up to the left a little bit. Paul's getting ready to die. He's in a prison. And he's talking about how we need to hear preaching. And normally where you hear preaching is in church, right? Chapter 4, verse number 1. Chapter 4, verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. People nowadays don't even want to go to the church. They say, why do we need to go to church? We'll just go out in the woods and worship. Well, you won't do it God's way. Because God has a plan. He has a plan for the church. And all sorts of doctrine that go with that. But for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fable. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. It doesn't come without church. I'm telling you, we need to be in church. I was raised in church as a little boy after I got saved. And you know what? You grow in church. You find the right type of relationships in church. Hey, you get under the teaching, don't you? And that's one of our, coming up here in just a minute. But you get baptized in the church, right? So you need the church. You need to go to church. And church is a good thing. I'll say amen right there. Church is a good thing. I think you ought to be in a Baptist church. Because a lot of people are taking the name Baptist off the sign now. They're taking it off. But you know what? It stands for something. It still does. And so I don't want to take the name Baptist off. Now, just because you're a Baptist doesn't get you to heaven. Are you, amen, all right with that? Okay. Doesn't get you to heaven. But as a whole, they preach and they teach this holy book. They really do. We're not Protestants. When I went into the Army back in 1977, they were making my dog tags out and preaching the Bible. Amen. And so I'm not ashamed to be called a Baptist. As long as God gives me life and breath, Baptist will be on our church sign, okay? Amen. We're not taking it off because it stands for something. Amen. Stands for this book. That's why I'm a Baptist. So go to church. Now, the next one, G-R. What is R? We need to read the Bible and read the Scriptures. Go to Acts 17. Acts chapter 17. There was a church in Berea, and I tell you what, it was a great church. Acts chapter 17. Find that. I like that name. I think if our church was not named Western Hills Baptist Church, it would be called Berean Baptist Church. I like that name because of the testimony they had. Are you in Acts 17? Okay, look at verse 10. Go ahead and read it, Brother Jackson, verse 10 and 11.
And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night to Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. And these are more noble than those in Thessalonica.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. So how are you going to grow? Go to church. Search the Scriptures daily. Read the Word of God. Hide the Word of God in your heart. Because faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the Word of God. We had a good time with Gary and Denise. And they have a friend, Doreen, here today. And we were back here before Sunday school started. And that's exactly what we were doing. Searching the Scriptures to see if those things were so. And so there it is. And so we're trying to stay in this book. And you know what? We need to be in it more, don't we, church? More. Daily. They search the Scriptures. You know what? You can hear a message or a sermon today and read the same passage of Scripture and get the Lord will give you new light, won't He? He'll give you a new blessing. He'll show you things that you've never seen before because this book is God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16, for all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. Amen? I believe that. It didn't come from man. Now, man pinned it down, but God gave it. Holy men of God spake as they were moved with the Holy Ghost. And so that's one way you can grow. Not only go to church, but read the Bible. How much are you reading the Bible? You're reading everything else and seeing everything else. Be careful what you watch on that face thing. You know what I'm saying? Be careful because you won't actually get all the right stuff on there. But I'll tell you, if you get you a good old-fashioned King James Bible, the one Grandma used to have, amen, you'll learn something. You'll ask the Lord, show me something from the blessed book. I learned today, Brother John. I learned today in prayer meeting here. Brother John gave what understanding was. He's been in a little series going through Proverbs, what is wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and it came right out of the Bible. By the way, come and help pray at 8 o'clock. It's a blessing. Amen. So, okay, growth. We're on growth. Go to church. What's the next one? The Scriptures, right? Reading the Scriptures. And then what's the next letter in growth? G-R-O, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Obey the Lord after you're saved. By the way, these are six steps to Christian growth. And go ahead and get baptized. Scripturally, get baptized. So, let's see. You're in Acts. Go back to Acts 2:41. Acts 2:41. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Now I want to make it very clear right now. If you don't know this, I would say 99% of you know this, but if you don't know this, you need to get it settled, okay? Baptism can never save you. Everybody in agreement? Can never wash your sins away. Never get you to heaven. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. And we're going to see what God says about that. Acts 2:41 says, "Then they that gladly received His word," that's when you get saved, "were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Go back a little further to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 is what we call the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, toward the end, I believe it's verse 19 I'm looking for. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Can you help me read it from the Holy Scripture, from the Bible? Once we'll get everybody there. Get everybody there first. All right, verse 19 and 20. We'll read both of those. Everybody there? Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Here we go. Ready? "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." I love that. That's why I think everybody needs to be on a King James, in the King James Bible, because if somebody's in a different version, these funny books, you know, they got out there nowadays, funny versions, then it would be mass confusion, wouldn't it? Amen. So we can read out loud together from the King James Bible. By the way, that's a different subject, but there's a lot of translations out there that are straight from the devil, straight out of hell. And why? Because he wants to take away that foundation. The devil does. And he wants to bring confusion. But 100 years ago, there was no King James Version controversy. My great-grandmother and grandmother, they all had the King James Version, okay? That's another subject. But we need, after salvation, need to get baptized. Have you followed the Lord in believer's baptism? Yeah. Now, in the Bible, it was always immersion. I said in the Bible. Now man and traditions have changed it. Sometimes they're sprinkling, sometimes they're pouring, and there's all sorts of things people are doing. But in the Bible, they went down under the water. They were immersed. They plunged under. In fact, the Greek word baptism means baptizo means to plunge beneath or to immerse. Now why would that be? Does anybody want to say why that would be of immersion? Somebody want to take a stab? Okay. It does. It pictures not only the burial, but the resurrection when they come out of it. Amen. They come up out of the water. And by the way, Jesus Christ came up out of the grave. My brother went by to Kentucky this week, 2 days ago. He was in Turner Station, Kentucky. And he's visiting the grave of my mom and dad. My mom went to be with the Lord in 2021. My dad went to be with the Lord in 2025, February. And he was on FaceTime. Now, that's a pretty good thing if it's a good Christian, right? FaceTime, my brother. And he was showing me those tombstones. Marie Hardesty and Nicholas Hardesty. They're up on that beautiful hillside in Turner Station. And it was a brisk day in the 40s. And he began to cry. And my brother's not real emotional. And he said, my brother's older than me. He's the oldest. He's in his 70s. He says, I just don't know that I'll get up here anymore to see him. You know, it's hard kind of to get up there. But I said, brother, this is what I told him, Martha. I said, you're standing on resurrection ground right now. Because one day that old tomb's going to open up and that dead in Christ shall rise first. My mom and dad, they're already in heaven, but their body's going to be glorified. Amen. And they're going to be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall they ever be with the Lord. So baptism is a picture, Tiffany, like you said, of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so I'm so grateful and so glad. If you've not been scripturally baptized, you need to get that done, because really you won't grow. You will not grow as a Christian like God wants you to grow unless you're obedient. That's right. So go to church. Go to the house of God. Forsake not the assembly. And read the Bible. Search the Scriptures daily. Obey the Lord in believer's baptism. These are ways you can start to grow. So G-R-O, what's the next one?
W.
Go over to Acts 1:8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. These are not all the steps to grow as a Christian, but this is part of it. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know, when the Holy Ghost gets involved in that and He fills you, you don't have to try to be a witness. I believe, church, that you automatically will be. He says, after that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. People say, well, I don't know how to be a witness. I don't know how to help anybody get saved or go to heaven. Just tell them what happened to you. If you're saved, you have to be saved first, right?
Yeah.
And then tell them what happened to you and let the Lord help you with that. Ye shall be witnesses. I'll try to find this verse over in John chapter 4. Flip back to the left. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And chapter 4. I love this verse, if I can find it. This woman at the well. How many of you have heard that account of the woman at the well that got saved? Raise your hand if you've heard that. Well, Jesus encountered her. She was a sinner, like all of us. Amen. And what happened? Jesus was talking to her and she got saved. Look at verse 10. And if there's anybody that's not saved, you need to really hone in on this. Right now, in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee what?
Living water.
For people who are not saved, you just need to take a drink. You need to, what I'm saying, not take a drink of booze, okay? Take a drink of Jesus Christ. And because He'll quench your thirst. And Jesus, if you just knew how wonderful it is to get saved, you wouldn't put it off much longer, would you? If you just knew of the gift and who it is that's offering her this living water. Now, what happened after she got saved, Kathy and Bob? I'll keep you on your toes. Verse 28 and 29. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? What did she do, church? She witnessed. She witnessed for the Lord. She was changed. And now she wants to get somebody else. Hey, if you know something really, really good, like maybe a restaurant that's super, super good, you say, hey, come on over here and try this. Amen. You go over to where some of y'all went. The number one, what is it? A buffet. It's a Chinese buffet. Is that what it is? Oh, my goodness. It's over there off of McDowell. And you get a taste of that. And you know what? And just so, it's like the marriage supper of the Lamb. I mean, it's these long lines of every... Hey, if you don't get full and if you don't find something that you want there, something is wrong with you. Okay? So you don't have an appetite. But when you find something good, you want to get people in on it, don't you? And so when you taste of the Lord, you will see that He is good, won't you? You sure will. I mean, if you get saved, you can't help but tell people, the best thing ever happened to me. Well, praise the Lord, Mary. Good to see you. Come on in. Come on in, friends. Come on in. Mary Rahab, praise God. Been praying for her. Taste of the Lord and see that I am good. Is He good, church? Is Jesus good? Is His salvation good? Is He the best gift that ever happened to you? Is He your best friend? The song goes, He's my bread when I'm hungry. He's my shelter from the stormy wind. He's my anchor in life's ocean. But best of all, He's my best friend. He's my anchor in life's ocean. But best of all, He's my best friend. Is He your best friend today? Is He your Savior today?
Amen.
Well, you can count. You can depend on the Lord. He'll never disappoint you. So be a witness for Him. So, to grow as a Christian, six steps. G is go to church. Get in the house of God. Don't forsake the assembly. Yeah. R, stay in this book. Read the Bible. Search the Scriptures daily. What's the next one? O, obey the Lord and be baptized. And you do that at church. Well, sometimes you don't. I know of a baptism in Missouri. It's in a creek this morning. It's going to be in the 30s or 30s or 40s. That's going to be a time that... Now, the church was there. The church was assembled, and they're baptizing a man that got saved in the creek. But you know what? You need to obey the Lord because He blesses obedience. Amen?
Yep.
Now, what's the next one? W, and that's witness. Witness for the Lord. If you really want to grow, tell somebody about Jesus. Six steps of Christian growth. T. Here it is. T. Be thankful more. Amen. Every day. Martha, you were showing that today. You were thankful because God answered your prayer. Why don't we go to Philippians 4? Philippians 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Most of you know where we're going. Verse 6. Philippians 4. You say, I know all this, Pastor. Well, keep coming because there'll be some things you won't know. Amen? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we need to be thankful more every day of our lives. In everything, give what?
Give thanks.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so if you're saved, you have a lot to be thankful for, don't you? If you're a born-again Christian, I mean, you're not going to hell.
That's right.
Hey, you have a peace. Man, that fly went right in my ear right there. Good night. I got hearing aids in here. Shut that door and keep out the devil. Amen. Almost inhaled that sucker. Man, how'd they get in here? I don't know. But we'll take care of them somehow. We're going to eradicate them. That's it, brother. That's right. I'm thankful for that little fly right there. I'm thankful. Yeah, that's right. Be thankful, church. I mean, we have enough people that are negative. Can I get a witness right there? There's enough negative and pessimist. And no, we need to be thankful. This building's paid off right here.
Amen.
That building's paid off. That building over there is paid off. And these pews are paid off. But you know what? It's more than that. We get to come. Right now we have freedom to worship God, don't we?
Yeah.
That thing really loves me because I tell you what, I guess I'm sweet. I don't know. Something. He likes my deodorant. Maybe that's it. Woo! Glory to God. But I'm thankful today to stand here and open the Word of God. If you want to grow, you need to be thankful, not negative, not looking down on, just count it a joy, count it all joy. And when you can come and be with God's people, man, it brightened my spirit and my day, Mary, just see you walk in that door right there. And I'm thankful, so thankful you made it. You made it to church. We appreciate you. All right, the last one, G-R-O-W-T. H, you might not like this one, but you say, Pastor, you have to get it in there. Well, I'm just trying to help you right now. And that is to honor God with the tithe. Amen. Honor God with the tithe. Do you know what the tithe is? Some of you don't even know. There might be one or two. Well, it's 10%, isn't it? Of our income. And so that's the way God's financial plan for the church. God's tithe. The Bible says in so many verses, it's the Lord's tithe. Yeah. And so I like to always tell that when I get in the pulpit and we have an offering, it's now time to receive what? God's tithe and our offerings. And you know what? People that love God, people that know this book, they don't have a problem. Remember Louise Gelsthorpe? What'd she always say? You can't afford not to tithe. Because God's going to get His. And so, you know, honor the Lord with the tithe. Go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi, it's the last book in the Old Testament, right before Matthew. The Italians call it Malachi, but no, we call it Malachi. The hillbillies do. So, Malachi chapter 4. 3, I'm sorry, verse 10. Malachi chapter 3. We may even start in verse 8. Malachi chapter 3. Now let me tell you this before you get all puffed up and blow up. I'm going to tell you right now before you get mad at the preacher. Robert Hodges, who was in the church back in Florida. And when I got out of the Army, I went to Temple Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. And my wife was already there. I met her in church. She was singing in the choir, singing in the trio. But Robert Hodges, who's in heaven now, started that church. And he always said this when he got up in the pulpit, if you don't teach your people to give and to tithe, you don't love them and you're robbing them of a blessing. That stuck in my heart. You're robbing people of a blessing if you don't teach them. Because even the Lord Jesus said in the book of Acts, what did He say? It's more blessed to give than to receive. How many of you know a little bit about, say amen if you found the joy of giving. Go ahead and say it.
Amen.
You love it when people give to you. We don't do things to get. But there is more joy in giving. My mom and daddy taught me that. My wife was given before I married her, and then we got married, we give, and we've been given all these years. But in Malachi 3, I just have a few minutes left. Malachi 3 and verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Remember that word.
Yep.
Storehouse. That there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Those of you, brothers and sisters who are Christians, those of you that have proved God know that you cannot outgive the Lord and that tithing works. You say, well, that was for the Old Testament. Let me just, I don't have time, but tithing was before the law, during the law, and after the law, and Jesus commended it in Matthew 23:23.
Yep.
So we won't go all through those verses. But I'll tell you this, tithing is God's way, financial way, to provide for the church. Now, you can raise money for teenagers and youth and different projects and have cake auctions, and that's a good thing. If you want to raise a little extra money for things, that's okay. But I'll tell you this, that's not God's primary way to finance the church. It's through God's tithe and our offerings. That's the truth. If I'm up here, I'm going to be up here in the pillar of ground of truth in the church, I need to tell you the truth. Now, some of you know that, and you found that. You're shaking your head, David. I remember a time you asked questions about that, but you've proved him. And you've seen that it works. And so have many of you. Now go to one more verse and we'll be done over in 1 Corinthians 16. I think it's verse 2. 1 Corinthians 16. Remember that word storehouse? You go out there and worship in the woods, brothers and sisters, and say, oh, I don't want to be a part of any church. Well, who's your pastor? Who's the deacons out there with at the universal invisible church? Who's all of that? Where do you bring your tithe if you're out there in the woods? You know, a lot of people just get away from church because they don't want to take responsibility. Okay. Is everybody okay? Everybody okay right now? It's not time to pray. Amen. Look up here. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week, that'd be Sunday, when they remembered the resurrection, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. It's just God's way. That store right there is the same word for storehouse over in Malachi chapter 3. Same word. It's talking about the house of God. It's talking about where we come and we bring our offerings. It is a time of worship. Is anybody breathing right there?
Yes.
We bring our tithes. It's not ours. I'd be so afraid to just rob God because, you know, how can we pray and how can our hearts be right if we just rob God and put everything else before God? He's not pleased with that. And I'll tell you, the old timers that have been doing it for so many years, they know it's true. You say, well, may some would have this attitude. Does God just want all of our money? Well, first of all, it's none of our money. He just wants all of our money? No, He asked for 10%. Tithe. So He's not asking. Hey, you can do better on 90% with God's blessing than 100% without God. Can I get an amen right there?
Amen.
You sure can.
Right.
He'll stretch it, won't He? You'll have things go down. Your expenses will go down and your bills will go down and your income may come up, whatever God wants to do. Now, you don't give it to get, all right? You do it to honor the one who is the blesser of all. He's the giver of all. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above. You say, Pastor, are you having financial troubles at this church and all of that? There's always something that can be done. Can I get a witness?
Yep.
There's always. But no, the bills are paid. And I give God the glory. It's getting paid. You know why? Because there's some people in here that love God and honor God with the tithe. But you know, the churches, I'll just be honest, Miss Martha, the churches that don't preach tithing, don't teach tithing, they struggle. And then you can only do so many garage sales, okay? I hate a garage sale. Don't get me going there. I hate a garage sale about as much as I hate those flies buzzing over my head. But you ought to give God your very best and ought to tithe. Now, some of you, you live to go to garage sales. Your wife does. Brother Justin, kind of. She loves to go to those things on Saturday morning. Well, I pick up some. Well, that's good, I guess, if you want to go do that. But for me, especially when it comes to the church, I believe we ought to give God's best, our best to God. Amen. We ought not bring our junk. Give it to the governor. That's what he says there in Malachi. Don't give it to God because he deserves the very best. Didn't God send his very best to get to take our place? Take our place. I was reading A.W. Tozer, Brother Jackson, and I love to read A.W. Tozer. He comes off with some things. It's so good. And when I think of Jesus, you know, I know the Bible preaches and teaches the deity of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He's holy. He's undefiled. He's separate from sinners. He's pure. And he never has sinned. Now, he was tempted 40 days in the wilderness, but he didn't sin, did he?
No.
Sister Kathy, he didn't sin. But A.W. Tozer said this, and I even hesitate to say it because I don't, but it's true. In a sense, you know, he said the only sin, I don't know if he said Jesus ever had or Jesus ever knew, the only sin that Jesus ever knew, and I like this part, was our sin. That's the only sin. And the Bible did say he bore in his body our sin on the tree. And they laid our iniquities on the Lord Jesus, right? But I'm thankful that he took my sin. He took your sin. And he paid for it, right?
Amen.
Get an amen right there. He paid for it. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Let's stand together. Sunday school's done. Come back next week and we'll get into, I think, some lessons on the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. But let's thank the Lord. Larry, if you'll dismiss us in prayer.